Good afternoon and welcome to the Becky Book Show. I'm Dr. Robin Gould, and I'm so excited to be here today to share with you for the next about hour and a half about some of the things that I feel like improve the quality of our life. So just in case you're new to the program, let me introduce myself and introduce what the Becky Book Show is. So first, I'm Robin Gould, and I am a marriage and family therapist. I have a doctoral degree in religious education, and I enjoy attachment theory and attachment theology. That's probably the most important thing in my life, my specialty that I like to focus on, and it's the foundation of the work that I do. And so basically everything that I am going to share is going to come from a relational and attachment perspective. So I think that's a very good perspective for a radio show where people are tuning in to listen and be encouraged and maybe even get some practical, helpful hints and ideas for how to apply this encouragement to our everyday. And that's going to be the basis of our show today. Is about applying some principles to our life that will help us in the way that we think, in the way that we are with others, in the way that we act and perceive ourselves. So that's who I am. I live in Florida, where it's beautiful weather right now. I apologize if you're in a place that's still having snownados, as they call them, even though we're in spring and, of course, right here in the middle of unleavened bread. But that's where I am and who I am. And our show, the Becky Book Show, is a show that's primarily focused on Becky books. If you have not heard of Becky books, I encourage you to do a little research and check these books out. Becky books, and the spelling is B-E-K-Y. It stands for Building and Encouraging the Kingdom of Yeshua. Becky books are books that are written in short form, basically a 1 to 2 sitting book, that cover the basic topics and sometimes the not so basic, but we have different tiers of how these books are arranged and categorized, to cover the topics that your friends and family have questions about. It's not always easy to share our faith with people who have known us a long time. Maybe they're not in full appreciation for a lot of the changes that we've made. Maybe that we eat differently now, worship on a different day, hold to a different set of covenant vows and rules that are very foreign to them. And they might have questions. They might have doctrinal questions, personal questions. And these can be this can be a controversial area for people, with particularly family. And it's nice to have a resource outside of yourself to rely on that's affordable and trustworthy. And that's what the Becky Book agenda is basically to provide you with some tools that you can use that will help you to share your faith in a non-threatening, non-judgmental way. So the topics of our books, we have our basic tier, which I'm actually an author of that first tier. I have a book on marriage and divorce and remarriage in the Bible, which is an extremely controversial topic. Many people have heard for many years that if you've been married and divorced, you're never really divorced, and any remarriage is adultery. And we've heard mainstream systems promote this for years and years. Well, this book scripturally tears that myth down, but in a way that's building people up. It's a book about inclusivity. It's a book about learning how to read Scripture, how not to be afraid of Scripture, and how Scripture is very common sense based by a very loving and merciful God who gives us the keys of His kingdom of earth to operate in it with the proper authority, the proper perspectives, and the most logical and pragmatic ways to live in a loving way toward Him. So that book is a jewel and a very helpful book. There's a lot of different authors that come from the same perspective I do in terms of just studying this out in the original text. And this book is just one of them. I think it has a twist in it. It's nice and helpful and takes kind of expands the scope a bit. So I prefer to add all these extra pieces, the relational part, the attachment piece. is what I put in my books. So that's one book that is a Becky book. I also have three other books that are basically focused on the dietary laws. I have Peter's Vision, Vegan or Bacon, goes into depth with that vision and even broadens the scope of the meaning of that vision. Even seasoned followers can even get something out of that book. They might not have known maybe certain details. I wrote another book about the dietary laws called Colossal Controversies, and that basically goes very much in depth with Colossians 2:16, which is one of the common arguments that people will, you know, along with Peter's vision, they'll throw that in about eating anything we want and how the Messiah changed and fulfilled and all of that. We also go further into all of that with first century words revealed to 21st century believers, which is my third Becky book in the trilogy of the dietary laws topic. So you can get these on Amazon.com, or you can get them on my website, which is www.newcovenantpath.com. And I also have a children's book on my website. It's called The Forgiveness Tarts, and that will be going on sale soon, and that will be for sale on my website eventually. That's just a brand new book. So anyway, just to let you know that those are my books. There are other Becky books that are really, really great. We have a book on the Sabbath, on how to celebrate the new moon, on the Jewish sources, what does that mean, truth, tradition, or tear. It talks about tradition, what is good tradition, what was the tradition our Messiah loved, when is it not a good tradition. There's the Hanukkah and Prophecy. That's another whole great book. Oh, that's a two. That's one for probably a two setting book. We have a book about. I'm thinking we just have books that basically span wide topics that we like to cover, that are questions that you have, and we are always adding titles. So keep looking and keep seeking out the titles. Just even there's a book on the Messianic Synagogue and the service that might be intimidating to people, and this book helps demystify that. So we do try to, cover topics that are going to be relevant to you and interesting to you. Some of the books are a little easier than others. So check them out. When you have friends and family with questions, give them a try. I don't think you'll be disappointed. living a life of Huga within our feast calendar, our festival calendar, is a way to look at life. It's a way to look at the feasts rather than being a burden that come around and take our energy and require us to engage socially where we'd rather be more isolated, or all the different things that can make the festivals difficult for people from a Western perspective. I think Huga is a way for us to introduce the moments of these festivals, and giving it a name, Huga, right? Just giving it a name makes us pay attention to it, as I was reading earlier. I like this quote right here that speaks to the point I'm trying to make here. It was spoken by Martha Washington, and she says, and I quote, "The greatest part of our happiness and misery depends on our dispositions and not on our circumstances." Basically, anything that we are living through, doing, engaging in can be a transforming event. It's only the way that it's only dependent on the way that we our appraisal of it, how we see it. Can we embrace this moment? That moment becomes very important, even in its simplicity. While the Bible is not very wordy in all of our instructions, when we think of our Shabbat prep day, when we think of the way that we prepare for our festivals and our feasts, you could imagine that there would be an element of teaching and just the preparation, because that's the way our Father works. He's always speaking, always teaching, and that which He calls us to do is how we are to function optimally. That's a foundational belief that I live my life by. And we learn by doing. We learn by experiencing. We don't just learn by learning, right? We learn, actually, let me read a quote. Here's another quote. I really enjoy this quote. This is probably one of my favorite quotes of all time. It's by Henry David Thoreau. And this is what he says. "Talk of mysteries. Think of our life in nature, daily to be shown matter, to come into contact with it, rocks, trees, wind on our cheeks, the solid earth, the actual world. I love that, because I think he's just basically saying that the actual idea of nature, of cause and effect, of an experiential moment, like when he says wind on our cheeks, experience it and be, and you discover the mysteries of creation as you experience creation. So it seems so simple, but what I wanted to do today was to encourage you. I wanted to bring up the idea of Huga to you. Maybe you'll go and research it. Maybe you'll look into it and pick up this little book here. It's called The Book of Huga. It's a very inexpensive book, The Danish Art of Contentment, Comfort, and Connection. And the way that I want to tie this in with our Becky Book show is that the Becky books are meant to be very practical. As much as they're, like I'll say, our second tier books get a little bit more in depth, like the Hanukkah book, The Seven Shepherds in Prophecy, that's a beautiful book by Dr. Aylwine. And that would be like in more of our upper tier, with beautiful practical insights in that book. But it's, you know, going to take a bit more to wade through that and to really absorb that information. And that's a different type of Huga. That's a moment of setting apart some time, you know, maybe making yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or an iced tea or whatever is Huga for you, in terms of just sitting in a place that's clean and organized and enjoying that moment, reading maybe just a chapter of that book. And in my world, that is Huga. Reading in an organized environment with a beverage that I want, that is huge for me. Is that one for you? I don't know. A lot of people that are tuning into this channel are tuning in because they've enjoyed learning about the Becky books. They've enjoyed the topics. Just the simplicity of the dietary laws as a relational and connection point of connection between the Father and His children is is a beautiful picture of relationship, of a father guiding his children of how to live, how to operate within the ecosystem, and just to trust him. We don't even need to know the reasons why. The Bible doesn't really give us the reasons why the dietary laws are to be followed, but it's very clear that they are to be. Now, we have learned through science all kinds of logical applications of information that would make sense. And it's fun to learn about it. But really what these books do is they don't go into the science of the dietary laws. They don't go into the science of the ecosystem. It's vaguely implied here and there, but the books themselves are us wading through the words from the original text and getting to know our Father much deeper and just trusting. And ultimately, what is huga from a spiritual perspective? It's feeling safe, close, and connected. Let me go back into that definition that we read in the beginning of our time together. It says that huga is a quality of presence and an experience of belonging and togetherness. Well, nothing, I think, makes us feel like we belong more than to eat the same as a family. This is how our Father has us eat. There's an attachment piece to this. You belong. We're one family. We walk differently. We eat at a table differently. Then it says, it is the feeling of being warm, safe, comforted, and sheltered. When we view the dietary laws as restrictive and busy work, we're certainly not trusting our Father, that he has his reasons and his terms are perfect. But when we look at them as a father teaching his children how to operate in the world he's created, we feel warm, safe, comforted, and sheltered. And we will always lean into the science that comes our way that says it's not healthy to eat this type of meat. It's toxic, and pigs are the vacuum cleaner of the world. They're filters. They're not the meat to eat. So if we go on with this definition, huga is an experience of selfhood and communion with people and places that anchor and affirm us and give us courage and consolation. Well, right there you have the feasts, the festivals, the study of the Torah portion that's universal, right? This whole idea of selfhood, becoming who we are supposed to be. Selfhood isn't about being self-focused to the exclusion of what's good for others around you. It's for the purpose of being a channel of his love for other people and to experience that love yourself and to embrace it. And then the idea of communion with people and connection with people. What brings us together more than these festivals that we all celebrate on the same days, on the same, with the same sort of tone and mood, and learn the same thing? The retelling of the Passover story of the Exodus. We all do that. It's special and it binds us together. And it does give us courage and consolation. There's so much comfort in the idea of the deliverance of the Exodus. And there is courage because it tells us, stand before that sea, it will be parted. Your Father is with you. And finally, in this definition, it says to huga is to invite intimacy and connection. Well, that's exactly what I believe the Torah, the laws of the Torah, invite intimacy and connection. We're a community. It's, and then to go on, it's a feeling of engagement and relatedness. Oh, what a community we are when we can relate to each other and we're engaged together. It says, huga is the sense of abundance and connection. Huga is about being and not having. Our festivals aren't dominated by consumerism and materialism like mainstream holidays are. We are all about the experience and the community. And we do swim against the current. We are sort of a unique people. We are a precious jewel. We are a quirky people. And we live with that. But huga is about being. It's about seeing and being present and being engaged. I want to encourage you in your spiritual walk, in your Torah pursuits, to take moments throughout the day and huga, and to see huga in these traditions, in these customs, in these commandments. That we are designed. I think this is a place where we in our design can learn from this Danish way of living. I feel like there's a lesson in this for us, that we can be humble and say, you know what? I love the way you word that and put that together and wrote a book about it, because I can engage in that and I can share that with other people. And I think this is how communities become close and connected, through the festivals, the feasts, the dietary laws, the observance of the Sabbath, all of that, the prep, the way we pace our week. And if we can even augment that with hygge, and we can have that, which we naturally do when we talk about these feasts, you can go reminisce. The best part about Sukkot is I decorate with this, or whatever that is for you. But there's so many opportunities for these precious moments. I hate that term, precious moments. It makes me think of those figurines that are just creepy to me. But if you want to think about, like, sacred moments, engagement moments, moments to be engaged and moments to be together, moments to understand yourself and to relax and to have peace, moments during Yom Kippur, hygge in a different way, of abandoning yourself to a higher pursuit of purity, right? So we abandon the old self. These are all beautiful opportunities for hygge in our spiritual world. So this might be a little bit of a different show from what you might have thought we'd be doing, but I really feel like I want to have a well-rounded show. I want to have a show where people can say, you know, I really wouldn't have ever heard of hygge through another Hebraically minded, educational site. You know, I really would like to bring something to enhance the abundance of your life and to round it out and to add these elements of the small things that really end up transforming us in a very big way. So I thank you so much for joining me today and for being a part of this discussion of hygge, the Danish art of contentment, comfort, and connection. I enjoy talking about this. I really think people get a lot out of it. So I hope that you'll join me next week, and we will be talking with a worship leader and beautiful singer and songwriter and author, Rhonda Hinson Sullivan. She's just a beautiful person, and I know you will get a lot out of what she's going to share about worship. So join me then. In the meantime, if you need to get in touch with me, my website is www.newcovenantpath.com, and you can subscribe to my website, and if there's ever news or a new blog, you'll get notified. And I'd appreciate it very much if you'd become a part of my team. We're together in this, and I'm excited that we can just walk through our journey of faith together. So I thank you for your time. I'm honored that we shared it together. I'm honored to be the voice that you opted to listen to. And I look forward to next week. And in the meantime, in our Feast of Unleavened Bread, I pray that the chametz being gone is a blessing to you, and that you are onward, moving forward, as am I. So I'll talk to you. We'll be meeting again next week. And until then, shalom.